Welcome to the Questionable Behavior Podcast. This is your host, Edison. Please don't forget to follow us on Instagram at @_QBPC. Also, give us 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to YouTube. Just Google us and you'll find us. We got a special guest from the DMV area out here today. We got Big Flocka in the building. Say what up.
What's up, babe? Big Flock.
First of all, how's New York treating you, bro? We got Corona over here. You still came out.
Oh, man, it feel good.
That's why we're keeping a distance a little bit, just in case and shit.
Nah, everything good, man. Good weather, good people. I love it out here.
What do you got going on in New York this week?
I'm doing basically mostly everything is media run, interviews, networking, all the important stuff.
All right, before we got interrupted by a smoke alarm and shit, you were saying you got a media run out in New York. That's why you're here this week?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, so I was listening to your old albums and your new one now. And you can notice kind of like a change in between what you were going through back then and what you're going through now. You also put in a couple of songs in this album that were like much more about you, much more lyrical. So tell me about that change as an artist from who you were before and after, because obviously there was a little gap there where you got incarcerated. So
like at first I was using music as a fun outlet, and as time progressed, it's just a lot of things happen. I've been through a rack of trials and tribulations, so it's like I just wanted everybody to hear my story. You hear me? That's the main thing. At first, it was just I'm just rapping, but now it's like I'm rapping my thoughts, my really inner thoughts. What's really going on now? You know what I'm saying?
So, what were you going through during that time that made you kind of more? Because you got to be at a certain comfortability level with yourself to be able to put that story out there and put it in writing and all that. So what was that change like that you were going through mentally?
Beyond, bro, like my manager and them, like they forced it up out of me for it because I didn't want to talk about it. But he made it clear that like you are going to be speaking somebody else's story that's also like your own. It's somebody out there that's going to feel the same way you feel or been through the same stuff you've been through. It might not be the same specifics as your own story, but along the lines, and they could feel it. So that's what made me do it.
So, like, creatively, when you're writing a song, before you kind of, you were looking more for, like, the turn up, you know, and that type of conversation.
Right.
And so now, creatively, when you're sitting down and writing, how are you touching this other side?
I ain't wrote probably, like, in 2 months now.
So you're just going straight, punching in and out in a sense?
Straight in.
So that's, and before you were sitting down and writing? Now it's just kind of whatever comes first, you're just putting it out there,
go.
So it doesn't.
I just hit a beat, act them, give me a topic, and I just go.
So when you say give me a topic, is it just so, like, tell me a little bit, what's going on in the studio when you're out there?
Boom, I might hear a beat, and I ask everybody, do they fuck with that beat? And then after I ask them, give me something to talk about. Because me personally being honest, I'm probably talk about guns all day. Because that's what I'm into. That's what I like.
Right.
So I'm going to talk about that all day, and I can talk about it effortlessly without going through anything. But I asked them, give me a topic. And hypothetically speaking, they might say magazine. Right. So that whole time, I'm talking about a magazine some type of way. I'm dissecting it each type of way. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's how it is now.
So now it's just kind of, so the whole creative, like what you were doing in the studio has changed. So now that's why the music's changing, everything.
Yeah, but it ain't like I don't write no more, but it's just, since I've been in there now, I'm trying to get shit done. I'm trying to have 100 songs before a certain time period like that. So I'm knocking them out. If I freestyle, I'm knocking them out. I'm knocking out 4 or 5 songs in a 2 hour studio session. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's like, it's easy though, and they still good quality music though. It's not like I'm just saying anything, you know what I'm saying?
So definitely you're making music a lot faster, putting songs together a lot faster. So now, you know, every time an artist launches something, people listen to one time and they're like, what's next? You know, so if you're trying to record 100 songs, how often are you trying to launch? How many songs are you going to put aside? What's the creative plan for that?
Man, right now I got a lot of songs in the repertoire. I got a lot that I still got song when I'm still talking about the halfway house, when I was in the halfway house. That still ain't even come out yet. So it's all about time. It's all about what's going on, and I'm just trying to stay in the relevancy of everything. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So the person that you used to be, I guess, before you went to jail, we'll get into a little bit more detail about that later, but you know, the stuff you were going through before that, and now this change that's come in the time that you lost. So what would you have told your younger self while you were going through that, you know, through the period, through the first album? I guess your first album came out 2012 around that time. Mm-hmm. So what would you tell that person up until now, what you learned and what you're going through?
What would I tell them? I tell them no. A lot of times I just tell them no. Because I had too many people around me just telling me yeah or not telling me nothing at all. But they're not saying no. Don't do that. Mm. They either egging me on the door. They even not saying nothing. So I'm still going to do it. But I don't got nobody telling me like, nah, don't do it.
Nobody kind of like checked you in a sense.
Nah. So I'd be that person. Be like, all right, hey, bro, no. Mm. You good. You know what I'm saying? You don't need to do that. You good. I'd be that person. Mm.
So, and how about like in a musical sense, you know, the way you were making music then, like creatively, how do you think you've grown?
I think it's going to be different now because now I actually get to travel. Mm. So now I get to see more stuff than what I'm usually saying. So I think the creativity is going to be on a larger scale because now I get to talk about more stuff than what I see on my daily basis. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm going to different states now. I get to see different stuff, see different women, buy different shit. I can do everything different now instead of what exactly I'm used to. Mm. So now it's going to be way different. I think it'll be way better too at that.
So now you're just saying in just the way that life has been around you, you're going out, you're exploring more stuff instead of kind of being in the area and in the streets and stuff like that. You're just not spending time there.
Right.
So in that sense, like, you talk about like, you know, kind of giving a positive image to the next generation. Mm-hmm. So what are you doing in that sense to try and make sure that people don't do that same mistake, even though, you know, a younger person never really listens until they go through it sometimes. Right. But what are you doing in that sense?
You just hit the nail on the head, really. Like, you can only tell somebody so much. Mm. You know what I'm saying? They're not going to listen until that bad thing come up. I could tell you, I could scream, don't go to jail till I'm blue in the face. And you be like, man, fuck that shit. I ain't been in jail yet. I'm young. It don't even matter.
You're not even thinking.
Yeah, I'm young. I was him. I was that person. Like, I'm young, man. I don't even give a fuck. Like, I don't care what you talking. I ain't been in jail yet. You know what I'm saying? I, you know what I'm saying? So once you realize that you're not with your family no more, people dying that you can't see, shit like that, you can be like, all right. Like, I understand what bro was talking about. I understand that. You know what I'm saying? And that's pretty much it for real.
So, like, when you were going through that time when, you know, you were getting arrested, your daughter was 2 years old, and she unfortunately saw you kind of go into the car.
Mm-hmm.
So, in that sense, what are you trying to do for yourself so that she doesn't go through that ever again?
Well, I'm staying positive. Like the main thing, I'm just not really in that same type of environment no more that I gotta do the negative shit I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not in that environment anymore. It's either I'm in the house, or I'm in the studio, or I'm at a show, but it's nothing in between. I don't get to just parlay. I don't get to just go to the block and just cool out no more. I don't get to do that no more. So I'm going to be out here. As long as this going the way it's going, I'm going to always be here for it. She ain't got to worry about me going away no more at all.
So, when you were basically, before that time, you had 3 years that you were away.
Mm-hmm.
And when you came out, you still had people waiting and anticipating a record out of you.
Right.
So tell me about that influence that you built up before that for people to still be waiting around 3 years later.
I'm going to be honest. I don't even know how they did it. I don't know. Because it's been time out of your mind still like, bro, they not going to fuck with me no more. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get too old for them. Or I've been gone too long. It's people out there that got to run that. Probably doing the same shit I'm doing, but they're not getting locked up though, so they gotta run. It's like, I mean, many times I'm thinking like that, but it's amazing to see that they still fuck with me. It's amazing to see. So I can't really give you a straight answer because, to be honest, I don't know how I did it like that. Mm. People just like me. I don't know why though.
It just kind of happened. So what was that like? Because I'm assuming when you're coming out, you're like, fuck, I gotta start fresh from day one almost. So we're seeing people still around, still people anticipating something, almost kind of like putting pressure, like, hurry, when's that album?
All right.
What's that feeling like?
I hate it, though. Like, I hate that feeling. Like, because I might drop 3 songs in a week, hypothetically speaking. Drop 3 songs. After them 3 songs, they like, damn, come on, damn, drop some more crank. Mm. It's like, God damn, like I just gave y'all it, you know, I just gave y'all an album a month ago.
Right.
Like, God damn, like I do got a life. I am human. You know,
yeah, yeah. But like, still gotta perform, still gotta, you know, spend time with the advertising, like, everything.
I think fans just think that rappers are inhuman. I think they don't have a regular life. They don't wanna be a regular person. You know what I'm saying? That's what I think fans think. So I hate that shit.
I mean, also, I guess with the streaming and the access that we have to music nowadays, it's like, you know, it's so easy to just go and hit play, whatever. You're not listening to stuff on repeat like you used to. Because back in the day, bro, if I'm spending money on a CD, I'm listening to that over and over and over. We're going to get my money's worth for the plays, you know? So now it's just you click, all right, next. You got to hit
and
the shuffle.
And you got so many rappers out here now. So it's like, there's so many rappers that sound the same.
Right.
So it's like, it's just like you listening to a different song. They all sound the same, but it seemed like you listening to a new song. You might not have a favorite rap, but you might got a favorite sound. So that favorite sound that you listen to, you might got five people that sound exactly the same. So by them keep producing music, it's like it's never gonna get tired to them because they got that sound that they want to hear.
That's the sound they like, and just keep playing over and over.
Right.
I never even thought about that. That way, to be honest, you know, because if you like that style and the way that title and Spotify, it just goes to the next artist, and you learn about new artists because it's the same type of feeling, same type of vibe, pumped up or crying or whatever, the lo-fi stuff. So tell me also, like, right before your last album that came out before you went to jail was 21 Savage was featured on it.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, where you think your career is kind of like when you dropped that album, your career is almost, you know, about to take that next step.
I can't really say. I was locked up when it dropped.
So, oh, really?
Yeah, I was locked up when the Great Depression dropped. So, and around that time, 21 was, I ain't gonna say he was coming up, but he wanted the status he had now, though.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He was getting.
I think at that time he was already on. Was it the freshman?
I don't even think he made it there yet. Did he make the freshman class yet? He did. Huh?
He did around that year, right? I think so. That's how we remember
it. Yeah, probably did. See, I don't know though, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I want to say he was up and coming though.
It wasn't like that.
He was starting to stardom though.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it was like, I didn't really look at it like that. I just looked at it like, all right, this is his song, right? I like the song.
Right.
Put on the tape. You know what I'm saying? That's how I looked at it.
It wasn't like anything, but. Just in general with your career, I mean, even at that time you were talking, you said, I know my mama's sick of me, one of your songs.
Mm-hmm.
So were you kind of like, did you already know in a sense that what you were doing was going to catch up to you?
I don't know. See, like, that's just scary because it's like, if you listen to even song that won on that tape, it's like I already was known what was about to happen. You know what I'm saying? It was like, it was weird. So when I say my mama getting sick of me, like she was getting tired of it. She tired of something, keep going to jail. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? That she getting tired, you know what I'm saying? And I ain't gonna say I knew it was gonna happen, but I kind of felt that it would happen because the route I was going in.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I just felt it, but I didn't think it was gonna happen like that though. I didn't think it was gonna happen like that.
The way it happened, you didn't think so, but you you were anticipating in a sense. You said during a time period, I guess, when you were also selling, we could say it because it's on record. So when you were selling the pills and stuff like that, you were also abusing them a little bit and going through depression and going through paranoia and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Even when you were going clean, you were still paranoid.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me about, like, I'm assuming every day you're kind of like, now, all right, in the house, you're like, when are they going to come? When are they going to come? So eventually they just...
it came to the point like, I'm drugging so hard that like, I'm not thinking they ever going to come. Mm. I'm just thinking like, fuck it, I could drag my nuts. Like, fuck, they ain't came yet. That's how I was looking at it.
Okay, so you're not even...
I was never thinking like, I knew that eventually something was going to happen. I knew that. But I never was anticipating the police to come.
Right.
Because if I was, I would have handle shit different. Make sure it wasn't nothing in the house, shit like that. But like, I was just drugging so hard, so it just had my mind all the way over there, my head over here, my mind all the way over there. So I wasn't on point.
Would you say you were going through anxiety and that's why you were doing that? Or was the anxiety and that type of feeling coming because of the drugs? Because you also mentioned, like, you know, your father not being present, and you actually witnessed his murder, if I'm not mistaken.
Who, my father?
Yeah.
No, my father didn't get murdered. He had a disease.
Oh, he had a disease. Yeah. Okay. Oh, you witnessed him die in front of you. Correct?
Nah, hell no.
Oh, I'm sorry. I heard that in another interview. But
I was in prison. I was in prison when he died. I was in prison on this bit right I just did. Mm-hmm. He passed away and shit. It was probably like in 2018, 17, 18, one of them.
Yeah.
Man, I ain't seen him die though. No, yeah. I seen him getting sick,
mm-hmm.
and seeing him being immobile. Mm-hmm. But I ain't see him die though.
But he wasn't really around though during your younger period. If I'm not mistaken, right?
He was locked up.
You know, when you're going, I guess when you're growing up during that time, now you're looking for that. You're looking for that father figure. So would you say like that might have something to do with how things turned out later on?
No, I can't say that, because even though he was gone, though, he was still a perfect father figure in my mm-hmm. eye. You know what I'm saying? Because I can only judge a father figure by how my father was there. I can't really look at the next person's father and be like, that's how a father should be. You know what I'm saying? My father mm-hmm. was still present in my life. Even mm-hmm. though he was locked up for that many years, he was still present. So I really can't. It probably would have been a different outcome if maybe he was home more. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But nah, I wouldn't even be able to put that on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He did right. Yeah. He did right.
Mm. All right, we'll be back in like 2 minutes. What else is this? Damn.
To kill, I'm still moving faster than niggas. I'm on some KOB case for real. I still let them blast me a nigga. I swear you can ask any nigga. Huh. It ain't no sass me, nigga. Huh. I fuck right and smack me a nigga. I'm a star, gotta attack me a nigga. On the hood, I'm allergic to broke niggas. My pocket blue face, they grossest. We give you them shots like a bartender. Pick up on me like I ain't a gun offender. What's a nigga with slide like I'm Ricky? Designer dope boy, I be trapping in Ricky. Remember me, I'm busting max with the 50. I ain't cutting nigga slack like a dicky. You need to free my nigga, grist me, risky. Huh.
All right, so we're just talking a little bit about your past.
Yeah, if I was there.
Tell me about like what effect you think your incarceration had on your career, like you know, basically everything you built up to that point, taking a 3-year break and coming back now. How do you think things would have been different within those 3 years?
I would have been gone by now. I wouldn't be doing groundwork that I'm doing right now, because I was already doing I would already been gone by now. Like, I would have been a superstar already. I mean, I'm already a superstar in my own eyes, but mm-hmm. to everybody, to the world, I've been a superstar.
Yeah. So how are you trying to make up for lost time? Yeah, you just said you're trying to record 100 songs this year, but what else? You also got basically your friends around you. You were saying your friends turned into business partners.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me a little bit about how everybody kind of took on a role to help with the music career and not just kind of just try to ride the wave, you know what I'm saying? Because obviously, you know, everybody's learning from zero.
Right.
So everybody has to be do a certain role so that the whole group can go forward.
I mean, see, it's different. Like, if you look at my old content to the new, you'll see a lot of people not there no more. You know what I'm saying? So if they really not there no more, I'm not going to say they rode the wave, but they didn't contribute to nothing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So the people that you do see around me now on a daily basis,
they put value into the whole group. They contribute for the group.
They're not just dead. Like,
right.
We all, I go by teamwork, make the dreams work. So we all got to help each other. Like, I might be the one that got to kick the door down, but after I kicked the door down, everybody else did a repair. So,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? We all doing it right, though.
Yeah. Now everybody's, you know, playing their part and trying to really taking that next step forward as a group.
Right.
Yeah. So I want to pull something up real quick and just talk about it a little bit. This is a letter that you wrote when you were in jail.
All right.
It was basically like a note to the next generation and to yourself, and kind of, you know, you're putting yourself all out there.
Right.
So tell me a little bit about what you were going through at that moment and how you were trying to like impact the next generation with the letter?
I mean, if I'm being perfectly honest, my first thought wasn't to impact the next generation, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
So my first thought was to come home.
Mm.
That was the main thing. I just wanted to come home. But then once I realized my impact, it made me look at what I wrote and how I wrote it. It made me look at it different. It's like, all right, damn, like, I got a voice in there actually listening.
Mm.
So then that made me feel like, all right, like, I could be that voice, a reason for them. But my initial thought of thinking was, I got to get home. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I ain't telling no nigga to get home. I ain't doing nothing not to get home. But this, I'm like, this is simple. And by me doing that, it's like, it cut my time down short just by writing a letter. And it was times I didn't even want to write it. You know what I'm saying? Like, man, I ain't fuck this. I ain't writing it. Then I had to realize, like, come on, Flock, you got to go home. You want to go home? You ain't trying to come home. You 30
something. So this is basically, in a sense, almost a letter to yourself. You were writing it to other people, but you're writing to yourself, kind of.
Pretty much.
You know, growing up in a sense, right through this letter. So you mentioned a couple of things on here, as you saw, I'm already highlighted and everything. You wanted to have a huge get together for kids of all ages, the first thing that you got. So tell me about that. And did you do that when you first
came? Nah, because when I first came home, I'm not thinking I'm going to be in the halfway house.
Mm.
So when I first came home, I was in the halfway house for 5 months.
Okay.
I'm really just coming out the halfway house, really, like, what, last month? I just came out of halfway out last month. Mm. So it's like, I'm just...
Just going back on your feet on your own.
Yeah,
so
just
you
now.
Yeah.
I'm just... This is my second play. Like, I was just in Carolina last week.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I'm finally just getting to move around.
Right.
And I'm not
right.
saying that I'm still not going to do that, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's just...
You have to kind of get back on your feet and make sure you could bring that impact back.
I got
to.
I got to. Absolutely. Mm.
So just... You know, just a couple of other things that you mentioned on here, you know, especially like when you were a kid, how people, you know, made you go grab a bag for them, bring it back, and how, you know, that literally is putting you in danger for that next stop. So tell me about like that neighborhood and growing up and going through that.
And
when did you come to the realization that really like nobody's going to care for you if you're staying in the streets?
To be honest, I've been through that though. Like, that's how my mother been told me, my grandma been told me, my father been told me, streets don't love you. But
you only listen until...
Nah, it's not even that I didn't listen. Like, it's not like I didn't know. Like, I knew. Mm-hmm. But it's like, you're going to like what you like. You're going to love what you love. So if you like being in the street, it won't matter what. Nobody tell you.
Right. At the end of the day, you're going to do what you want to do.
Right. So it was at that type of standpoint. Like, my old head telling me, go grab this, down the third. It ain't bothering me because I'm young, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I wanna impress my old head. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it didn't bother me until I got of a certain age. Like, it got me fucked up. Like, I ain't no runner. I ain't doing that. You know what I'm saying? It got to that point. But that ain't come till years later, though. You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah.
I don't know. I just love to do what I do. Like, that's what it was.
Yeah. So now, would you say that you're mentally, at least, you're in a perfect place where you're gonna strive forward and reach that stardom that you said you would have if it wasn't for those 3 years?
Absolutely.
So this year, what are your plans? How many albums do you plan on launching? Are you going singles? What's the whole plan for this year? You just launched an album, I guess, at the end in December, and then a couple of singles after that.
Mm-hmm.
So when's the next bigger project?
I would say, like, by summertime.
Mm.
Summertime. That's what I'm striving for, summertime. I'll probably just drop singles until summertime. But.
You also actually dropped a song with Wale, and you said that he, you know, he always likes to be in that and help his community out, et cetera.
Mm.
So tell me about, like, you know, just linking up with him. Obviously, he's one of the... He's a future legend, in my opinion, I would say. So tell me about that link up, and also the way he's linking up with you, how you would like to do that for the next artist.
I only met Wale in person one time. And But he been reached out to me, been wanting to help me out and stuff like that. But I only met him one time at his concert, Wale and Friends. He brought me out and stuff like that. And man, I think he's a good dude. You know what I'm saying? I like him. I ain't got nothing bad to say about him. But I can't really get in detail because I don't know him.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know him. So I really can't give you that, though. But, like,
from that first experience that you got.
Yeah,
you know,
I like him. Yeah, I like him. He's a cool dude. Yeah. Nice dude.
And you obviously made a nice song together, so that worked out perfectly.
Yeah. And I like his music, too, though.
What artist would you, like, be proud of if you got to work with them?
Drake? Yeah, I like Drake.
That's it? Or are we anybody else on that same level? And which type of Drake are we talking about? Because, you know, you got Spanish Drake, you got reggae Drake.
I like all Drake's, though.
A-tape, B-tape, you know what I'm saying? Nah, which tape you trying to be on?
Drake Crank, bro. Like, I like all his music. I ain't really heard a bad Drake song. I never really heard one. That's about it, though. Maybe Beyonce or something. I don't know.
Yeah, all right, Jay-Z, watch out. Yeah, there goes that Rock Nation, bro. Just in general, just to basically close out the interview, tell everybody, first of all, where they could check out your music and also what to really expect coming from you this year.
You can find all my music on Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal, Spinrilla, SoundCloud, on every platform. And what did you expect? I mean, you got to expect the greatest. The greatest is real. You know, everybody call themselves a GOAT, but like, I think I really paint that picture for real. That's how I look at it. I paint that real picture.
I mean, definitely in this album, like I mentioned before, you're bringing different vibes. You know, you got those songs, the heavy hitter songs, and then you got a couple of songs that are like, you know, slow and, you know, really makes you listen to the lyrics. So the bars are definitely there, especially from that first album coming out. Right. So, actually, before I forget, the first thing you did when you came out, you went to the studio and recorded that song.
Out the gate.
So tell me about that song and tell me about, like, how ready you were to just start working again.
That song, that probably, I ain't gonna say it's top three of my most rawest lyric.
What's the name of the song? Three.
No introduction. It was the energy that was in it. Like, anything I'm saying, everybody jazzed me up. Like, hell yeah, keep going. Like, I did it. I'm actually rapping the song with no beat. And my engineer Wonka, he making the beat while I'm rapping. So it's like, it all came together perfectly.
Who's producing your album right now? Like, or most of your music?
I got a rock of people. I got KM, Jew 2 times, Tweez, Hustle.
How about on your last album? Was it mainly one producer or a couple?
Yeah, it was a couple. It was
there was a lot of like pianos and heartbeats like that. So I figured it was kind of this.
It was dude SJR. Me and him got a good relationship. SJR. Mike, there was a couple people in it. Mozart, yeah, there was a lot of people in it for real. Man, so they all like.
Seems like the collaborating in the DMV area still is.
Yeah, and they all up and coming. Like a lot of people want to. Oh, I ain't gonna say a lot, but like a lot of them under the age of 22. They all young. You know, man, they young.
Yeah.
Yeah, they destined for greatness. That's a great.
All right, so with that, make sure to check him out, Big Flocka, on Spotify, Tidal, and all platforms. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube.
Yeah.
And 5 stars on iTunes. And check out, actually, you know what? Can we get like a sneak peek of a next single to launch on our episode?
Huh.
We're putting right on the spot. Everybody's looking around, looking at each other.
That a good thing.
A quick 30 to 45 seconds. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Another new unreleased track on the Question Will Be Every podcast. You already know. We're going to check out new music, the best artists. We only work with people that work.
Damn. How motherfuckers keep on saying that they miss the old flock? When the motherfuckers that saying that shit don't even know flock. Old flock was on a full speed chase straight to a roadblock. Now that I'm trying to change a bit, they look at me like I'm a robot. Can't possibly want that old shit. Cause I gon' say a nigga throw away his future cause I back on some kick dough shit. Or go back to spending every day and Lord cuz full focus. Or that plan B.
Auntie Toyota Camry. Now all this hunger in my eyes, I can't see. Sleepless nights as a child, cause all these roaches in my damn bed. Back then I was anything, get my dick sucked by a crackhead. Said I was just horny cause I wasn't in trying to sell crack, yeah. Fuck trying to sell crack, nigga, I wasn't in smoking pack, yeah. Had football dreams, but I was posted on the wall like a fathead. Call my mama messing with my football coach, she talking about some mouth bad. Mama gotta have a life too, she sounded like Jody Muffs. Twin Gleason.